New microphone? I can really scream today, amen. You know, how many heard those old Pentecostal preachers? And they would, Mark Eden knows what comes out. You ever heard that? I never got it down yet, but anyhow, I'll work on that. You go back to some old Pentecostal preachers and they just got louder and louder. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad you're here today. And you know who else is here? God's here. The Holy Ghost is here. And that's what gives us hope today, is God is here. He's going to help you. Praise God. So, next week, next Sunday, well, first of all, Wednesday night, we have midweek service, 7 p.m. Then next Sunday, we're going to turn these kids loose. Don't miss it. They are working hard. There's actually, when you look around, there's double the people that cheer the action. They're all upstairs. She got over 30 kids in that play. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great message. Just the name of it is Dr. Newhart. N-E-W-H-E-A-R-T. How many of you have Newhart? And you know what? We never miss an opportunity to lead people to Jesus. So you can come and you bring everybody. Bring the hardest person you know. Bribe them. Amen. Who was it recently? Kyle said something about bribing somebody. Oh, yeah. He said his grandma bribed him to memorize the 23rd Psalm. That bribery's okay, all right? But praise God. Bring somebody next week. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your relatives. Talk to your enemies. And bring them. Amen? And God will help them. Amen. Well, looking forward to the rest of the month. How many of you like Christmas about here? The kids weren't here, so I didn't get much of an amen on that one. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. Verse 31. And let's just pray, first of all. God, we need you so much today. Lord, the words of man aren't much, but the words of God are everything. So I pray today, God, for your words to come down through me, God, that you'd help me not to be in the way. We bind every distracting, limiting spirit of hell that would come against us. Satan, you are bound in Jesus' name by the authority of God's word, and we loose hope today. We loose repentance. We loose healing. We loose, God, your truth in this place today that would penetrate lives and hearts and bring freedom and liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's read the scripture, John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, there is a supernatural connection. Let me tell you why a lot of people don't get free. Because it takes truth involved in that. There's a process. There is a connection between freedom and truth. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, the one thing they do, they make you say, you know, I'm an alcoholic. There's the truth of it, right? Now, where I differ with them, I don't think after God set you free, you need to keep saying you're an alcoholic, because now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? That's another truth that they need to get to further on that process. But they do start you out. They say, you know, you have to say, I'm an alcoholic. You have to get down to the truth of your situation. So you cannot have real liberty and freedom without truth. There's an impossibility. And so today I want to read this story. You know, what I love about the Bible is every time I read it, I can read about a miracle, and the next time I read it, I get more. I get fresh revelation. And God's word is timeless, and it's powerful. And so I've looked at this story hundreds of times. I've probably preached on it hundreds of times over the years. But there was just a powerful truth that came home to me, and so we're gonna read this, and in this story, Jesus had been ministering. The Bible says he was tired. He was uses the word weary in the New Living Translation. So he tells the disciples, go to town, go to Burger King, get us some burgers, something, and come back and we'll eat when you get back. So he sends the disciples away, and it's just him, and he's sitting there by a well. It's the middle of the day. And a woman comes out, and this woman's life is completely changed. The reason I'm going to focus on this, it's something magnificent happened here. You say, how do you know that? Because an entire city got changed out of this. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Yeah. It says, literally, this woman was so moved, so changed by her encounter with Jesus, she went back, and the Bible says, they came streaming out of Samaria to hear this man. Streaming. I mean, that's a pretty great thing. It'd be like somebody in this church getting saved, and then all of a sudden, streaming out of Cortez, hundreds of cars. I believe God could do it. Amen? And they're streaming to hear what Jesus had to say. So let's just start by reading this today. And I'm just going to read the whole story because it acts context to all of it. So John chapter 4, verse 3 says, so he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. And he had to go through Samaria on the way. And eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came down to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Now she's really shocked by this because it wasn't common for Jews. They look down on Samaritans. They're less than us. And he says, and he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. And the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. I kind of like this lady. She's bold. Right away, she picks up the conflict. Who are you? It'd be like saying, well, you're black and I'm white. What are you saying to me for? What are you talking to me for? Or you, I mean, she was just bold. She just laid it out there. She says, why are you asking me for a drink? Why Jesus or whatever he was? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket, she said. Yeah, she's just blunt. Like, you could give me anything, Jesus. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater? This woman's on the fight, man. She says, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Because see, this is where the comma. She just gets right in the middle of things. Than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy? Forget not having conflict. She is just into it with him. And so Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Now watch, so this is interesting up until this time. So dealing with different things, and he's talking about this one. And then all of a sudden, next verse. Now watch the shift here. Go and get your husband. So he's bold too. How many know? She bold? He bold right now. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. She said, I don't have a husband. The woman replied. She thought she could pull the wool over his eyes. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you had five husbands. And you aren't even married to the man that you're living with right now. He called her a fornicator right there and then. He says, you certainly spoke the truth. In other words, when you said you didn't have a husband, you told the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship? She's just deflecting now. She wants to get off of that husband stuff, that five husband stuff. That fornicating and shacking up husband stuff. And she says, well, the Samaritans claim that it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. Again, I like his, he's just straight. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. You know very little about it. And he says, while we Jews know all about him. He says, you know what he said, I know what I'm talking about. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time, see, sometimes we're so afraid to confront. You know what? Right confrontation is very healthy. It's healthy. And you know what? Getting saved is a collision of souls. And so he goes on, he says, but the time is coming indeed, and it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. She just said, well, who are you to talk to me? You're not the Messiah. And he comes right back. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. How many? That's bold. I am the Messiah. So take that, honey. And he says, just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? And the woman left her water jar beside the well, and she ran. Notice she ran back to the village, telling everyone. How many of you see this woman? She's running. She meets somebody. You got to go hear this guy. I'm telling you, he read my mail. He told me there's something going on here. And she ran back, and she says, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Now, this is an amazing encounter. God intersects with this woman. And I'm telling you, God's going to intersect with some of you today, and he's going to help you. Because I guarantee you, if at the end of this day, this woman was a lot better off than at the beginning of the day. Now, she got two major truths that day. And that's what I'm preaching. There are two truths. If you want freedom, you need the two truths that this woman got. So here's the first truth. She got a truth about God. Do you know people need to know about God? They need the truth about God. You say, well, you know, religion is not the truth about God. Religion is just religion. And it kills instead of brings life. So it says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And she says immediately, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. I love that illustration there. See, when God speaks to you, the truth of God is what he brings to you is fresh, bubbling spring water inside. It's got life. See, this woman, she desired this. The minute she knew that there was something religious going on here, but her experience with religion was probably not fresh and bubbling and life-giving. And so she immediately, when he tells her, listen, lady, I'll give you fresh, bubbling inner water. I'll give you something on the inside. She actually didn't even fully understand it because she said, you know what? I won't have to make the trip out here to the well every day. And you know what? That probably was in her mind, but I guarantee you she sensed something deeper. She sensed this guy's talking about something that's deeper than just the water that's in the well. And so the woman desired this. She got a truth about God that she desired. I think if you could talk to her, she was worn out with life. How many know when you've married five husbands, you're worn out. You're tired. You doesn't have all the fights you can fight by number five, right? Probably she had a string of kids along with the five husbands. Probably she was living off the system if there was such a thing back then. She's worn out with life. And fresh bubbling water in new life sounds really good to her. I'll tell you something, she was worn out with her failures. Oh, my friend, you ever get worn out with your failures? She probably said to herself, what is wrong with me? I can't seem to make anything work in her. She is worn out. This is why it was so appealing. She's tired. She needs that fresh, bubbling life that this man is talking about that she senses is supernatural. I'll tell you something else she's probably worn out with, and that's religion. You know, we need to be done with religion. The Pharisees were full of it. They had all kinds of duties, and the more you got around them, the harder it became. The Bible says that they just created burdens for people. And they added laws to laws. And there was so much pride, and it was not open. It was not hopeful. And so Jesus touched a nerve with her. Her desire for refreshment. He says, I'll give you refreshment, lady. I'll give you something. And you know what he says today? I'll give you refreshment. Now, that word refreshment is interesting. If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, it has a very interesting meaning. It says, it is recovery of breath. You know what I picture when I read that? I pictured somebody that's having CPR done. Maybe somebody that's about drowned. And you ever watching in a movie or something, and they're sitting there and they're pushing on their chest, and all of a sudden they come alive again. He told that woman, he said, I'll give you refreshment. I'm going to tell you, when you know God, you will get refreshment. The message of God is not a hard, heavy, kind of quoted the scripture. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not this terrible thing. He's going to deal with some things, but it's refreshment. He already went to the cross. You know, you can't be perfect enough. You can't be good enough. Jesus had to do that for you. But you can have it. And you can have that refreshment. And so it says in Acts 3:19, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. See, this woman was realizing, my life is not over. Some of you came today, and in your life, you maybe felt it was over. I've talked to people, and they just said, you know what, I'm tired of life. I'm just tired of living. They need refreshment. Religion will not give you refreshment. A program will not give you refreshment. Jesus will be a bubbling, living, refreshing fountain inside of you if you'll let him. And so she's standing there, she'd been strangled by her own sin. She was strangled by her own bad choices. How many of you have some bad choices? A few of us honest in here today.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, I wouldn't change anything, then you're stupid. Amen? If I could go back, I would definitely change some things. Where I said yes to sin, I would say no to sin. Of course I would. But you know, he brings hope. He brings refreshment. And so she was strangled by these choices. And all of a sudden, Jesus is beginning to talk to her. And she's seen something she hadn't seen. Something that nothing else. And I believe in her spirit, all of a sudden she went, there was hope again. There was hope again in this woman's life. She was no longer strangling on her own sin and her own choices and her own darkness. Bubbly refreshment started to come to her. So he starts with this truth about God. This is what God offers. I know there's all kinds of weirdness out there because for every real thing, there's a counterfeit. For every real thing, for that bubbly water, there's counterfeit water. It's like all this water, fresh spring water, right? They got it out of the tap in the back of the store. You ever seen those? Avian water from the mountains of so-and-so. No. No. That's what man offers, right? But when Jesus said it's fresh, bubbling water, it is fresh, bubbling water. You know, so he offers, you know, the truth about God is this. This is what he offers. First of all, he says he'll make you into a new person. You say, I don't like myself. Good. You can become somebody else. You can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. See, I like what I said. Good. You can become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This woman was happy about that. There's no shame in wanting to become a new person. There's no shame in wanting to be done with your past and your failures and your sins. He offered her to become, he offers you today, become a new person. Secondly, he offers you a new heart. Psalms 51, he says, create in me a clean or a renewed heart, O God. David is messed up. And he said, God, I need a new heart. Did you ever say, God, give me a new heart? I love Ezekiel 36:26. He says, I will take away the stony heart. You know, life, sin, darkness, failure can make you hard-hearted. And God says, I'll give you a new heart. You know, when I got saved, I don't know, I've been through different things. I can't say my story was even probably as bad as, but I couldn't. There was something in my heart that had set up like cement. And I couldn't cry. There was something in me, there was no emotion in my heart. There was something that I was missing. I had a stony heart. And I remember, and I specifically prayed. I said, God, give me a new heart. Give me a heart that feels again, a heart. You know what? If you don't have a heart of compassion, how can you help anybody? Amen. If you can't identify. And I'm telling you, God gave me a new heart. I started crying, and I ain't stopped ever since. I was ministering yesterday, and I try to talk. I try to quote a scripture, and I choke up. But you know what? I'd rather have that than a hard heart. Yeah. God put a new heart in me. Gave me a heart of compassion. And I love that because I couldn't fabricate that. And the third thing he gives you a new mind. And so he gives you, he makes you a new person. He gives you a new heart. And then how many have trouble with your mind? Grinding out thoughts. And in your thoughts, he says he will transform us by the renewing of our mind. Ephesians 4:23 says, and he renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, I learned something years ago. God can change my thought processes. You know what? Until you start thinking different, your life's not going to change. You've got to think like God. You've got to call bad what God calls bad. You've got to call good what God calls good. You've got to call truth what God calls truth. And when you begin to think like that, all of a sudden something begins. Your mind changes. And your thought processes. The devil, you know why he holds his thumb on us? He gets these same stupid thought processes. Well, if this is true, then that's true, and that's true, and there's no hope at the end of that trail. So my thoughts are very different. I'm just thinking this last week, in the last 5 years, oh my goodness, God has renewed my mind about mercy. I have seen so much. I'm looking back at my early years of being saved, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I had no understanding. You know what? I understand mercy. And you know what? In 10 more years, I'll be saying that about today. But my thoughts are different. In the way I look at people, it's different. In the way I look at myself, it's different. So he promises. And he promised you can become a new person, you can have a new heart, and you can get new thoughts in your mind. Don't you want to breathe again? Don't you want to get your breath back today? It's what God offers. He says the devil has stolen something from you. And you're like that person that's in the last throes of going into eternity, and God breathes upon you. You know, it's interesting. He gave Adam breath, right? He breathed into him life. And sin sucks the life out of us. It sucks the breath out of us. And the new Adam, the Bible calls him the second Adam, came. And when Jesus went to the cross, he gave us our breath back. You go home today and say, I got my breath back. Because that's what God does for us. So that's the first truth. She got a truth about God. But then, she had to get a second truth. And we talked about how all of a sudden, he shifted. And now, if you're going to get really free, you've got to have some self-truth. See, we're kind of okay with this truth about God stuff because it is truly all on him, right? He's the one that went to the cross. I don't go for the cross for me, and you don't go to the cross for you. He did it all. Jesus did it all. We sing that song. But here's the second part. In order for you to get really free, there has to be a second very necessary truth, and that's the truth. That's where we come to grips with some self-truth. He says to her, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. But you have had five husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. You know what? Confrontation with yourself is necessary if you're going to get free. There's got to be an honesty. We, by nature, are very dishonest people. And the first person we lie to is ourselves. And we lie to ourselves so much we begin to believe the lies that we've told ourselves. I hear people, you're a good person. Really? The Bible says you're unrighteous. And that all have sinned. We're all of our righteousness. But we lie to ourselves. And this woman, she comes out like I'm this. And she starts to have, well, the Jews say this. And the Samaritan, she's trying to have all this. And he just cuts right to the chase. And he said, go get your husband. We'll see where you're. He was bringing her to self-truth. Somebody said, today, feeling better has become more important than finding God. God is not here just to make you feel better. And that's the problem with a lot of preaching today. It's just affirmation. I thank God when he brings hope and healing. But you know what? I've had some confrontation. I said earlier, getting saved is a collision of souls. And when Jesus came, it riled people. He just come through a town and it riled people. He didn't always just give a positive talk. He said, honey, you're a five-time loser. Get your husband. And he deals with her. Now, we have to face the truth about ourselves, church. If we want real life and real power and real deliverance, what would he say today if he was here? What would he say? He might say, you know what? Can I see your cell phone and see what you've been looking at lately? You might say, well, who was that unsaved person that you were hanging out with and going places you shouldn't have been going with this week? How have you talked to your husband this week? How have you talked to your wife? What about when you were flipping people the middle finger and trying to run them off the road because you were so filled with rage? Oh, well, we live in Cortez. Yeah, it happens in Cortez, too. That's what we honked at me last night. I didn't flip him the finger. I did do a little beep beep though, all right? How many of you ever dealt with rage? You know what we say, I've got a temper. The truth is we all have a temper. Maybe some let it go more than others. So I've had God deal with my temper straight up. I've had God make me go back and apologize because I let things go and I said things I ought not to have said. But he might say, okay, he might say, you know, I saw you down there on the corner of Empire and 491. Was your hand just waving to wave, or what was it doing there? He might have said, you know what? Were you faithful to your ministry that I gave you? Have you been faithful to do the things that I called you to do? How's your faithfulness been? Why? He said, was that a beer in your hand this week? Was that, what's going on? You know, what were you smoking? What was that thing? Didn't smell like cigarettes. It smelled like something else. You know, I read something this week. This is for free. If you smoke pot long enough, it's going to destroy your brain. They have found, you know what, they have a chronic, they call it chronic marijuana syndrome now. And you start throwing up and throwing up and throwing up and you can't stop. Let's get free of that stuff, amen? I don't care. We got more of it for sale in this town, probably than any town in Colorado. Pray against it and get free of it, amen? You can't pray against it if you're not going to get free of it. Amen. The Lord doesn't want that for you. He's got something that's so much better. So, but he might ask you that. Well, you've been smoking lately. You know, God knows how to confront things. Yeah. Years ago when Kyle was doing some things he shouldn't have been doing, I was driving one day, and Robin found one of those little cigarette wrapper things, that little red thing that goes on the top of it. I don't even know what I'm talking about. The other one, but he found one of those in his pocket. And so we're driving down Empire. And I just kind of casually looked over and I said, when did you have your last cigarette? But the truth was, you know, that's what Jesus did here. He said, where's your husband? And it might be uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, God never confronts you just to hurt you. It will hurt. It embarrasses us. It brings shame, at least for a moment. He might say to some of the young people, how did you talk to your dad this week? How did you deal with your mom this week? You might say something like, you know what? Are you less on fire now than you were 2 years ago? Are you more on fire for God? You might ask yourself those questions. Romans 13:11 says, this is all the more urgent for you now. How late it is. Time is running out. Jesus is coming back, church. Time is running out. Wake up! For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day of salvation will soon be here. So watch this. And now I want you to notice this. This is the Word of God. This is the New Testament. It's very intentional. God has to give you the strength and the power, but you have to be intentional with God. And it says, the night is almost gone. Okay. He says, so remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Now, think about that. When you take your dirty clothes off, do you just walk in the house and hope they'll fall off and replace themselves with good clothes? I do sometimes. My wife runs me right back outside. Get some clean clothes on. You smell like cows. But the truth is, that's intentional. He said, you've got to make a decision to take those dirty clothes off and put on some new ones. He says, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. It's intentional. You've got to confront the things in your life that are wrong, church. You've got to ask God for his help and confront those things. And he says, and put on shining armor of right living. How many of you want to put on some shining armor of right living? That's intentional. It's intentional. You've got to want to be clean. You've got to want to live differently. He says, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see and participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and fighting and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. You know what? God has to provide the power, but you have to be intentional. He prepares it all. You got to say, you know what? I'm tired of living like a sloth. You ever, you know, just in your old grungies you got to say, you know what? I'm tired of looking like this. I'm tired of being in these dirty, old, smelly clothes of mine. And spiritually, I'm taking them off, and I'm going to get in the presence of God. You know that getting in the presence of God has to be intentional. God, I need you today. Lord, I need your presence. Specific action. Intent. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience leads us away from the sin and the results and result in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance. See, the world's sorrowful for the way they've ended up, but there's no repentance. There's no saying, I'm wrong. I've messed up. It all begins with that self-truth. I've done wrong. The worst thing you can do is justify yourself. Well, you know, if you were dealing with what I dealt with, no. You're not going to get free that way. So you got to stop making excuses. He says the world's sorrow lacks repentance, and it results in spiritual death. But James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God. How many can see the intent here again? Come close to God. He doesn't say, I hope you could come close. He says, come close to God. You can make that choice. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands. Is that intentional? Do we walk through the house and just hope our hands wash themselves? No. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to get the soap out. I'm going to pump it into my hand. I'm going to wash my hands. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves never ask God to humble you. Dangerous. He said, you humble you, so I don't have to humble you. Because God can humble you. And if you refuse to humble you, he may humble you. But he says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't you want honor today? You see how the devil lies? Oh, if you admit that, if you get that honest, they're going to grind. God's not going to grind you. He's going to give you honor. When you humble yourself, he says, I'll give you honor. You don't have to be that five-time loser anymore. I'll give you honor in your life. Now let's move on to the final picture today of this confrontation. So the woman, and here's the most interesting part of this story to me. The woman, something happens in her heart. And she goes back. Now, if you were going to go back into the city, what would you say? Most of us would say, I met the Messiah. He's out there. It's like this great spiritual revelation. But this woman goes back. And she says, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Now, that's kind of a different message, isn't it? You're going to town and you say, come out to this church. They will show you what kind of sinner you are. Isn't that not a little bit of a weird message? Come out. This man will expose you. He will tell you what you did last night when you thought nobody knew. I've been in church services like that. You know, the Holy Ghost will expose you at times. I've heard preachers give a word of knowledge, and I'm like, getting down in my chair, and I'm thinking, oh, don't let them look at me, Lord. But the truth is, God knows everything. He doesn't want to expose you. It's better that you humble yourself, right? But she goes back in, and that's her message. Come and hear the guy who told me everything I did. Now, the truth is, they probably knew her. This was a small village. They probably knew she was a five-time loser. Oh, it's so-and-so. Oh, it's so. And she said, this man, come and hear this man that told me everything. I don't know exactly, but they were curious because they started streaming out of that city. So why did she do that? Why did she talk about the one who exposed her? Why wouldn't she have just been embarrassed and defeated? She's proclaiming it. This man exposed me. And that's her message. Come hear the man that exposed me and all the things I've done. Here's why. I believe this is from the Holy Ghost today. Because even though Jesus exposed her, he wanted her. He loved her. See, the world wants to expose you, to destroy you. Jesus, she understood that she had to come clean and be honest. But she said, he still wants me. I'm a five-time loser, and he's talking to me. He wants me. And so she went back in that city, and she basically said, this guy knows every bad thing, and he still wants me. You know what? God knows every bad thing, and if you'll, he wants you. He doesn't care. That's why the Bible says he's married to the backslider. He said, well, Pastor, I've really messed up. Well, Jesus still wants you. I'm so glad God still wants us. He wants us. And so Jesus talks to her, and she goes in, and what's amazing to her is not just that he's the Messiah, but that he knows every dark thing, and he still wants us. And he wants relationship with us. He still loved her. He still wanted to interact with her and to talk to her. So when we face these two truths, who is God? He's bubbling life. He's water that won't run dry. He's our breath again. And when we face that, Lord, I have just messed up. See, we run from the light, but the light helps us. Real freedom comes. I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to see her. I don't even know her name. We see her in heaven, and she's happy. She's redeemed. There's hope in her life. You know what? James 4:10 again, humble yourselves before the Lord, I will lift you up in honor. You know, we're talking about this woman today, and we're not looking down on her. We're looking at her with honor because her life was redeemed. See, we expect rejection. When she'd gone to the Pharisees, they said, you're nothing but a worthless piece of trash. You know, never mind that the Bible says that they were rotten inside, just couldn't see it all. Wasn't as visible. But she had been through all of that. And oh, how Satan lies to us. But this woman got her breath back. No more hiding. No more guilt. Presence of God each and every day. Joy that she had not experienced maybe ever. Boldness and authority. You know, the Bible says if God is for you, who can be against you? If God pronounces you clean and righteous, it doesn't matter what the world says. Renewed, clear mind, ability to think differently than she had, ability to make better choices and better decisions, grace, not only for herself, but to restore others. Let's just say she, after five marriages, she probably did have kids, and she was able to go back in and say, come here, my boy. Come here, my daughter. Let me tell you what God can do for you. She had something to offer her kids. How many want something to offer your kids for their future? So she had grace to restore others. She got the whole world saved. She had grace working through her life. She had freedom. She had peace. And it was such a wonderful day in this woman's life. That's what I want in my life. So I need those two things. I need the truth about God. Don't believe the lies of the devil. God is not done with you. He has bubbling life for you. You see, well, that's what we're doing. No, it's a new day. It's a new heart. It's a new spirit. It's a new mind. And secondly, once you confess those sins, they're gone forever. Jesus would never bring that up to her again. He would never, next tomorrow, say, yeah, I'm still thinking about those five guys you were married to. I'm saying, no, because when you repent, the Bible says, it's done. It's over and it's finished. What a great redemptive story. It began with a broken woman that felt no hope. But at the end of that day, she had freedom that would last. Let's bow our heads for a few minutes today. God is here. His presence is here. And He loves you just like He loves and loved that woman. He cares where you're at. He cares what's going on in your life. And you might have come into this service today feeling hopeless, feeling put out, feeling like you've made so many bad choices that there's no hope for you. But God's got a message for you. He offers you living water today. Bubbling, life-giving water. All you have to do is get honest with your old self through it. And say, Jesus, I need you. I need to repent. I need to give you all the darkness that's in my soul. I need to be honest with you. I've lied. I've stolen. I've lusted. I've hated. I've rebelled. I've done these things. You know what? That needs to be said to Jesus. He didn't parade her around before everybody else and make her exposed. She had to deal with Him.